God bless you and thank you for joining Kingdom Authority with your hosts, Reverend Dancia Jones Morris and Bishop Latresa Jester, broadcasting live via Blog Talk Radio. Our radio ministry is dedicated to helping each and every listener learn how to stand in the authority and power of God, live a victorious life in Christ Jesus, reign and rule as a son and daughter of the Most High God, and utilize your gifts for the glory of God and advance the Church of Christ Jesus. Now is your chance to get kingdom empowered, and we want to hear from you. So if you would like to speak directly with our host, call us at 646-668-2413. And let's join our hosts, Reverend Dancia Jones Morris and Bishop Latresa Jester, on Kingdom Authority.
Good evening. It's so wonderful to be here this evening with you all. Let me tell you something. The Lord is great and He's mighty. I am convinced by today's word and my study on today that He is a mighty, mighty God. And let me tell you, He will not leave you alone. He will keep you even when you feel like you don't even want to be kept. He's a great God. Thank you so much for joining Kingdom Authority. I am your co-host, Reverend Dancia Morris. And my co-host is not here on tonight, Bishop Latresa Jester, but I'm excited to be here on tonight. We're going to keep her in prayer as she's always traveling and doing so many different things. So we're just going to keep her lifted up in prayer. We're grateful for all of you who continue to unite with us in operating in Kingdom Authority. We are broadcasting live on tonight, and I'm especially happy about tonight's guest. But let's go ahead and pray, and let's get prepared for this powerful, powerful word. This word is for you on tonight. This word is for your sister. This word is for your brother. This word is for your mama, your daddy, your son, your daughter, your aunties, and your uncles. This word is just for you who's tapping in, listening via the phones and via the web. Thank you so much for joining us. Listen, there is power in being number. Thank you right now. We bless you. You are great, and Lord, I appreciate the words that you will hide us in your pavilion. In the secret of your tabernacle shall you hide us. You will keep us safe, and you are a mighty, mighty God. I thank you, O God, for this day. Thank you for what you are doing in the lives of your people. We thank you, O God, that we do have kingdom authority. We may not feel like it every day, every moment, every second, but God, regardless of our feelings, it's not predicated on our praise, God. You get the praise for all you have done. And so, God, bless our listening audience on tonight. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will go into the household, go in the airways, and bless. And I pray, God, that you lift the curse off of those who are experiencing a curse on their lives. I don't know what this is, God, but I pray in the name of Jesus. I go into the courts of heaven right now and say, God, I beseech you for forgiveness, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and you remove their sin from the court, God, into the mercy seat in the name of Jesus, oh God. I thank you, oh Lord, that you're lifting burdens on this evening. Thank you, oh Lord, that we can cast our cares on you. And Lord, you are a burden bearer. Ha! Hey, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for being a burden bearer. And so, God, we're praying for the sick on tonight, praying for those who are without homes, those who have lost family members on tonight and going through bereavement. And God, those who feel like they can't make it, they're down under, God, they don't feel good enough, they don't feel adequate enough, God, they feel like it's never coming to them. We're praying for those tonight, God, who feel inferior, God. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will lift that mindset, change perspectives in the name of Jesus, that they will hear your word on tonight and they will be delivered, God, from the hands of the enemy that's caught their mind. And I pray in the name of Jesus that they will see themselves as you see them. God, thank you for showing us ourselves. I pray, God, the spirit and of operating in kingdom authority over our listeners' lives, over my life, my family's life, God, and the guest's life and her family's life in the name of Jesus. We glorify you because you are worthy to be praised. We lift up our my co-host on tonight, God. Thank you, oh God, for the doors being open. Thank you for opportunities. Now, God, grant her grace in the name of Jesus. I thank you, oh Lord, for your virtue and what you're doing in her life, God. Now, Lord Jesus, I pray and speak to every person's ear that will be opened up on tonight, that they will hear your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for listening in. I'm telling you, I feel God's presence. I know that he's with us on tonight. He's definitely with our guests on tonight. You know what we do first. We go and talk about a quote and speak a quote before we go into anything else. Listen, it's all about operating kingdom authority, and tonight we're going to help you to see, and the power of being numbered is going to be amazing tonight. And I hope you're listening and telling your friends, your families, even your enemies to tune in, because they may just be mad at you because you sitting on the throne and they still getting the crumbs. But let me tell you something, they at least getting the crumbs. Oh, my God, at least they're in the presence of the Almighty God. So come on, let's go into this quote. Focus on making yourself better, not on thinking that you are better. So listen, focus on making yourself better. Don't just think about you being better. Make yourself be better. Focus on that, where you are, not somebody else. Don't focus on everyone else. And I'm telling you, that's a life lesson for me. I have been struggling that with for years, and I'm sure in the name of Jesus, I'm going to get even more strength to continue on in the place that I'm at. So don't focus on everybody else. Focus on yourself. Let's go straight, because I want enough time for this pastor to speak and preach on tonight and tell us what it means to have the power of being number two. We have on tonight my good friend, my sister, the wonderful, the great Pastor Terrellyn Cleveland in Tucson, Arizona on tonight. Hey, Pastor T.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great, and I know you already preached today, but we're going to need you to preach again today. How about that?
There's always a word from the Lord.
So I'm so glad you're here on tonight. You know I'm on a high because I've been waiting for this. I've been posting, sharing, telling everybody, and I see y'all coming on tonight. So I so much, I'm missing my co-host on tonight. So I just want to make sure, though, I do justice. So you just bear with me. I hope you're ready for the word, everyone. You ready, Pastor T?
I am.
Okay, well, we're gonna let you take the floor. I want to tell you, stay on the line, because in about now 22 minutes, you get the opportunity to call in, 646-668-2413. Call in, and guess what? The first five callers who actually have a question for our guests and or for myself, guess what? You're going to win. You're not going to win, but you're going to receive a gift from us on tonight. And I want you to know we are particularly happy about you joining us on tonight. So don't forget, 646-668-2413 at about 22 minutes or as soon as we're done with the word. I'm going to give it to you, Pastor T, so that you can share what the Lord has given to you.
Amen. Amen. It's such a privilege to be here. I have so longed to be with you and want to make sure that I say thank you so much for the invitation. I honor you as the woman of God that you are, and surely your co-host who isn't here is my covering. And so Bishop Jester, in her absence, I am so grateful for this time and this opportunity to share about something that is important to me. It's important to me for people to understand that it's not just about the power of being number two. There is power in being number two. So turn with me, if you will. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 11. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture, but I want to highlight something that might get overlooked. 2 Samuel chapter 11 in verse 1, it's only verse we'll need is verse 1. It says this: it happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab. and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. If you really want to understand the power of being number two, you've got to understand what happened in this text. I know we've preached this 1,000 times, and we talked to you about the fact that the king ought to be at war, but don't overlook who he sent. There's a place in there somewhere that we always seem to skip, that in the spring when kings went to war, David sent somebody in his place. There's power in being number two. There's a place in us that has to understand that there is something about us that causes the leader to know that even if they cannot be where they want to be, whether that's something that happened to them or some decision they made, set all of that aside and understand that you have to be a certain kind of person to be the one whose name they call.
Wow.
You got to have some skill. You've got to show some faithfulness. You've got to have some muscle. You've got to have a backbone. You've got to have some grit. You've got to have the heart of the leader. You've got to have a bunch of things before your name gets called, even as number two. Even as the second person in line. It doesn't say that in the spring when kings came to war that David sent an army out in his stead. It called out Joab's name. And so you got to know that there is a precedent set in the word for there to be someone who assists number one. You got to understand that my role as the number two person in my ministry, there's a precedent set for that. And if this one isn't good enough for you, I dare you to ask Moses how he would feel if you took Aaron and her away.
Wow.
There's power in being number two. Because it's important to be able to not just be able to serve the pastor, which is a good portion of what we do. But there's also the service to the people. And so there's something that the person in the number two spot, be that in your ministry, be that in your job, be that in your household, wherever you are, I need you to understand that there is a power in being number two. Here's a couple things you might want to know. In order for the spring to have come and David not go to war, Joab had to have proven his trustworthiness in battle. Not just that he had to be able to prove that he could sit up under the pastor, not just be able to prove that he could hang out with the members. He had to be able to prove worthiness in battle. In order for number one, you got to remember, a pastor's heart is to do the thing that God needs done. A pastor's heart is going to be for the people. And in order for them to call the name of anybody else, you're going to have shown your chops. And so I dare to say out loud that the person in the number two spot is not necessarily secondary in their ability. They're submitted to their leader.
Wow.
I let that sink in for a second. We are not secondary in our abilities. We're submitted to our leaders because that's where God put us. And so you got to understand that there is a place where Joab had to have proven his ability and his trustworthiness, but he had to approve it. He had to prove his ability to get the job done. He doesn't send Joab into war with all those folks that he sent him out with, hoping for the best. David did not send Joab out with all those folks he sent with him, hoping that everybody would be all right. Joab had to have been able to prove his ability to get the job done, and not just any kind of way. You got to be able to get the job done like your leader. You might not be your leader. And there's a reason why God has your leader in front of you. They're going to impart some things to you. But if you're teachable, the leader will show you what they know. When you put that with what you know, there's a mighty fighting force. Joab is a bad boy.
Yeah.
If you read about him in the Bible, what you'll find out is that Joab really does one thing in life. Joab fights. That's all Joab does. Joab fight, and Joab kills folks. Joab will take you. I've given the right reason, and in some cases, in Joab's case, we're not going to talk about the other side of Joab, but Joab will take you out and not think twice. If Joab's assignment is to do what David said, if David said go out in war and besiege and destroy the people of Ammon and besiege Rabbah, Joab is heading out, and everybody in his path needs to be nervous. I know they wrote a song about David, but I dare you to understand that David said Joab could handle the job. It's one of those things that we run by because in American society, we have been trained that the only winner in the world is number one. We oftentimes diminish the role of number two, but I dare you to know that I can be the best at being the second. I can be the best. I can be the best second there is, because there's a place in the Bible that says that God has made some of us to help others. Everybody's not going to be the number one. We're not. And so
wow.
We begin to understand our giftings, and we begin to understand the thing and the favor that God has on our life. There is a favor in my life to handle an assignment, and my assignment is to stand right behind Bishop Jester and make her look good. I love my assignment.
All right now.
But it's not just that. It's not just that. David, yeah. David trusted Joab to see his reality. One of the things that you have to understand as the number two person is that you're going to see some stuff in ministry that everybody else isn't going to see. God has anointed us to be able to deal with the behind-the-scenes things, some truths about our leaders that everybody can't know. It's not anything sordid and deep. It's just stuff that's going on in their lives. It's just the realities of their lives. It's the gory details of the things that are going on. There's a place that number two holds, that they're the confidant of the number one. They're the confidant.
Wow.
They're the person who can see them in their raw form. Listen, in this particular text, Joab sees David in his sin. It says, in the spring, when kings are supposed to be somewhere else, David chose differently, and Joab saw that. But if you notice that nowhere in the story of David and Bathsheba do you hear Joab say anything about it. It said he sent Joab, and Joab went out and did his thing. He didn't say, where's David? He didn't say, this is messed up. He didn't talk to the people. He didn't let the people talk to him. He didn't have all of this division and seed sowing going on. Joab took the folks that David sent with him and went out and handled the business. We got to understand that number two is going to see some things that we're anointed to be able to hear and deal with, but we can't always say. He saw some stuff. He saw David choose to stay home when he should have gone to war. It was Joab that got that letter that said, send Uriah home. It was Joab that got that letter that said, have Uriah killed. And not one time did you hear Joab say anything about it. Not once.
Mm-mm-mm.
Because the anointing of being number two, the power to be number two, the kingdom authority that we're going to exercise in my role as number two is to do the job, to stay in my lane and handle the assignment. It's that God is going to be God, and if I see something that my leader might have done, not mine, but if I see something that the leader might be doing, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask God to be God. What I'm not going to do is talk, because that's not
Lord
what number two does, not if you want to be successful, not
God.
If you want to stay in your role. And
my
number
God.
Two, not if you want to be – the other thing that you want to know about Joab is he took instruction well. He took instructions well because David said what he wanted done. He said where he wanted Joab to go and what he wanted Joab to do. He said, destroy these people and besiege that place. And somewhere along the line, Joab is just knocking it down, piece by piece, little by little, day by day. You got to remember, this story goes on for a little while because it takes some time for David to have been on the roof and seen Bathsheba and for, to get her pregnant and for her to have the baby and then for him to and for the baby to die and for him to go back to her and get her pregnant again and have another baby. This didn't happen overnight. And so
right.
the whole time, number two is out handling the business bit by bit, piece by piece, just doing what he's assigned to do, doing what he's been sent out for. We handle the business. Number two is not incapable of thinking for themselves. Once he left David, it was on Joab. All those fighting forces were Joab's now. All those, everything they said, every instruction that was given to the men that were working with him came from Joab. Joab sat down with the strategists. Joab figured out how to destroy Ammon. Joab figured out how to besiege Rabbah. Joab sat down and figured out who was going where, when, and how. David was somewhere doing what he was doing. There is a power in being number two if you know what you do, and if you can thank God for the assignment and the favor on your life to do what you do, then you can be sent out to go do it.
Mm.
And so Joab took instruction well. Now listen, there was some stuff that happened with Joab. Then he saw some stuff that David said that I promise that I'm not advocating for. When he said put Uriah on the front line and let him get killed, I promise I'm not advocating that. And I would not dare to think that you're number one, that your leader would ask you of things like that. But I will tell you that in the number two spot, you will not always agree with your number one. But I
wow.
need you to understand that nobody on the planet needs to know when you disagree. If you disagree with your number one, there's a conversation that you need to have with God, and then there's a conversation you need to have with your number one. And when you and your number one finish talking, walk out of the room together. Walk out of the room because you are a united front. My job as the number two person is to handle the vision of the house as it was given to my pastor.
Amen.
Not what I think. Not Amen. What I feel. Not what I believe. It's not a matter. It's not that your number one doesn't want to hear from you. But at the end of the day, when the instruction is given, it's going to come down from the top, and I'm not the top. And so I got to understand that the power of being number two is that I can walk in and talk to my leader. I can share what God is saying to me and hopefully shape some things that are going on. And if God is talking to me and God is talking to my leader, the same conversation is happening. We have to know that there is one God. And if there's a difference between us, somebody's listening to somebody else. I'm just saying.
So
we have to know that when there is a disagreement, and there will be, that there is a place to have that disagreement. But we have to love our leaders. And if love is not anchoring what you're doing, you need to move from your number two spot. Because love has got to be the cornerstone of what we do, whether it is with our pastors or with the people they allow us to have conversations with. Notice that I said that that's an allowance. It's not a right.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a right. Our pastors allow us to work with the congregation. They allow us to meet with people. They recognize the gifting on our lives. And once we've proven ourselves in battle, much like Joab did, you've got to understand that they allow us, but at the end of the day, they're the leader. And so there is a power in being number two when you understand the thing that God has sent you to do. Here's the last thing I'll tell you about the power of being number two. From 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 27, to 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 26, there is no mention of Joab's name. All of that time is spent talking about David and what David was doing. But if you get to verse 20, chapter 12, verse 27, I'm paraphrasing it, but what it'll say is, Joab sends a letter to David and says, I have done everything that's needed to be done, and I have captured the city's water supply. Translation, they are at my mercy. I have done everything that needs to be done, and if I take one more step, they're going to name this city after me. So he sends a letter to David and says, I need you to come back and take the city because I am number two. Nowhere in all those verses do they say anything about Joab. Joab went and did the job, and because he understood his place, he understood that I can only go so far before I overstep my bounds and get into my leader's lane. And there's a blessing in being able, listen, the power in being number two is that we're anointed to do some stuff. We don't always talk about it. We get up and go do it. The power in being number two is if you love the work of ministry, I dare you to come on up to this place because there's a place in us that affects things. Nowhere in that, in all those scriptures, in all of that place between 11:27 and 12:26, they say absolutely nothing about Joab. But in 27, Joab showed what he was made of.
My God.
And so the power in being number two is the power to affect things, the favor and the grace to change things. Man, the power in being number two is while you were looking at my pastor, I was somewhere behind the scenes working some stuff out to make sure that what she said could happen. Somewhere behind the scenes, I met with this one, that one, and the other one, and by the time she gets ready to say, we're going to do it, it's ready. The power of being number two is I get to do some stuff. Now, granted, in my role, with my pastor, I get a lot of liberty. Man, she gives me a lot of grace with the people of God at our ministry. But I dare you to understand that there is a power in being number two. Man, some of us are anointed to be number two.
My God. My God. Oh, my God. Pastor T, well, I have so much. I'm just thinking about that. I have a few questions for you because many times people don't want to be number two because they didn't understand or don't understand and haven't come into the knowledge of just what that means. And so you said something that there's strength and you have to have some backbone to be number two.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that so many people have, what do you think the biggest concern people have in not being number one?
So I think that part of the challenge of not being number one, again, goes back to American conditioning, that if you're not number one, something's wrong with you. I heard a quote years and years and years ago. I think it was back in the 70s. I know I'm dating myself, but there was a rivalry in tennis, and Martina Navratilova was the number one tennis player for years. And there was a rivalry between she and Chris Evert. And so she was number one. Chris Evert hung out at number two. But there was one particular match in which Chris Evert won the match and thereby took over the number one spot. At the end of that, tournament, right there, as soon as the match had ended, a reporter asked Martina Navratilova, "Are you going to retire now that you're number two?" I will never forget the look on her face. She looked like, "Have you lost your mind?" And her response was this: "Would the number two brain surgeon retire?"
Wow!
There's a place. It was the most striking answer on the fly. that I think I may have ever heard, because there's a place in us that somehow in American society has made it not okay to be number two. But again, I'll say that there's absolutely nothing wrong with me. There's absolutely nothing. It's not that I'm not good enough. It's that I'm anointed to do this. And so if I can accept my gifting and my anointing and I understand the value of what I do, then I have no problem with it. And so I think some of the challenge about not being number one is that sometimes I think people feel like it says something about me to be number two all my life. I like what it says about me.
You know, I think it's beneficial, too. And I'm going to release the lines in just a couple of minutes. So you can call in, and as I see you call in, I'll release the line. If you want to say something, you can certainly say something at that time. The number is 646-668-2413, and we are prepared and ready. Well, we think we're prepared. We're just definitely ready to hear your question and answer those questions. Listen, I think it's important, Pastor T, for people to understand a little bit about your journey and how you have come to understand the power in being number two. Can you just walk the people a little bit about your journey?
Sure. I would venture that my journey as being a successful number two happened even as a young person. There's always been a drive in me to not be in the spotlight. Now, dare I say that, you know, on a worldwide radio broadcast, I'm really not doing that. But there's always been a part of me that's loved the background work. And though some of what I do puts me in the foreground, I really am built. My DNA really is to help make things work. It's what I do for a living. It's what I do in ministry. And so my journey in ministry particularly was interesting because it took up until about, 5 years ago, five, maybe 6 years ago, for me to realize that I was called to ministry. I really did not know. Most folks thought that I ran from the call. That's not it. I just didn't get it. And so until I ran into my pastor, literally, in a beauty shop one day, and she began to see what she saw in me and began to pull some things out of me, it became a situation where my life in ministry met up with my DNA and purpose just happened.
My God.
And so I think part of what makes me happy as number two is that's really how I'm wired. Here's the thing, that the other side of the coin, some people really are wired to be number one. And while I really believe that I am wired to be number two and that it is not really an aspiration of mine to be the senior pastor, that's not really my goal in life. If that's what God's there, you know, I follow God. But that's not an aspiration of mine. But for those who do, that's not a bad aspiration. That's not bad at all. What I would say, though, is that there are some of us who are occupying the number two spot that aspire to be number one. And to those folks, I would say this: do your job well. Do your job the way you want your job done.
Wow.
If God ever blesses you to get to that place, learn everything there is to know about being number two so that God, if God ever elevates you to number one, you'll know exactly what it is that it took for your number, for number two to serve. Not only will you know what you want, you'll appreciate what they do. Part of what makes what I do so pleasant is who I work with. And so whether it's on my job, I work with the staff of the century. I do. And in many cases have for years in various jobs worked with just wonderful crews of people. But as it relates to ministry, being the second in charge to Bishop Jester is just God himself and the angel singing. She appreciates what I do. She recognizes what I do. She understands that I do what I do. She talks with me and teaches me, and, man, she will get after me. I've never seen a mentor push somebody as hard as Jester anyway.
I love it.
I hope you're listening.
And yes, she does push. A little bit sometimes uncomfortable. So I'm going to release the line. Looks like we have a few callers on. And so I'll give you the opportunity. I do have a caller on right now. Looks like they're out of the state. Are you on, caller? Can you hear me? And if you have a question, you can go ahead and speak it now. Okay, so we're going to go on to the next person at this time. Thank you so much. I know you probably didn't have a question at the time, but can you hear me? Can you hear me now, caller?
Oh, yes.
Wonderful. What is your question on tonight? Okay, looks like we just, that person isn't there. So I'm going to continue on, Pastor T, and I have several more questions for you on tonight. So let's go ahead and ask this. I was just thinking about, you were talking about earlier about how the world views things. So, and I think what has happened that the world has infused, or we have infused competition from the world into the church. So what are some main differences between the kingdom and the world and what we should really be doing?
I think that the issue of competition as it relates to how the world does things and how things are done in the kingdom has everything to do with who gets the credit. In the world, we're supposed to be able to put certain things out there, and we patent them, and we license them, and we sell them because they become ours, and we make gain off of them. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But as it relates to the work of the kingdom, it does not matter who does what. It does not, credit does not go to any one of us. Glory goes to God. And I
right.
think the difference, the reason that competition may exist at some levels, I am fortunate, I promise I am, in life, that I've really not experienced that so much. I've heard a lot about it, but I really have not experienced that competitive place where, you know, one of us has to outdo the other, one of us has to always get the credit. I promise, my pastor is tickled pink about who I am and what I do. And that I do, what I do, does not diminish her shine at any given level, not to mention that she is Bishop Latresa Jester. And mm-hmm. so there's a place in her that she is who she is, I am who I am, and neither of the giftings of God in our lives challenges the other one. I'm grateful for the gifting of her life, and she's grateful for the gifting in mine. And
that's
so we love the fact that we get to do what we do. I realize that that level of competition goes on, but sometimes I think it might be that there is a place in us that's not looking at who gets the credit, but we've lost sight of the fact that glory just goes to God.
Yes. And you know, go ahead.
I think at some level it requires a paradigm shift. I do. Mm-hmm. I think that in order to not have to get the credit, it takes a paradigm shift. It doesn't celebrate laziness, but it celebrates flourishing in your own gifting. There's a difference between being lazy and not really not being as good as you could be, and having a different gifting from someone else. And so, because listen, I would love to be able to do what you do. I would. I would love to be able to pierce the hearts and the souls of people with my voice the way you do. I would love to be able to see the word the way you do. But at the end of the day, I'm not dancing. I'm just not. I am not Reverend Morris. I'm just not. And because I'm not, I've got to embrace my own gifting and then celebrate yours.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's
and so somewhere
fall.
In there, yes.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
keep
we
going.
Fall right there. We do. We stall right there.
So what? So speaking of that, you know, not being able to glorify God for other people and their gifts, why do you think there's so much jealousy? Why does, and then how does it play a role in a person's acceptance of being in the number two slot?
Yeah, that's a good one. I think that there is a place in us that has to seek God for your own assignment. And so when I seek God for my assignment, I don't spend time asking God about yours.
Oh, my.
And so that place where I have to focus on him and what he seeks from me, if I really focus the way that I probably should, then I won't have a lot of time to worry about yours. And so there's a place in us that needs to be able, and we've got to be able to learn from one another and appreciate each other's gifting. I promise you, I would not be who I am in ministry, whoever that is, if I had not run into Bishop Jester. And if she had not taken the time to see the gifting in me, set aside what's going on in her world and talk to me about me.
My God.
There's a place in us that we can't keep looking at the glory of who you are and somehow making that diminish who I am. I am who I am. He created me this way. I am perfectly happy in the number two slot because I am gifted to be number two. I'm not sure whether or not he wants me to be number one. I am graced to do what I do. And when you find that place where you can flourish in your gifting, you'll appreciate your gift and your place and not worry so much about who else is doing what else. Because at the end of the day, like I said, I would love to be able to do what you do, but I appreciate what you do while I do what I do.
That's good, and I think more people need to hear that because you know that I look at you sometimes and I'm like, oh, my God, how did she break that word? How did she get that word like that? I wish I could do that. But the fact of the matter is that you, God has gifted you and anointed you to do what you do, and I have to celebrate that. And so it's so powerful when we celebrate one another because what that does is strengthen us, you know, as long as we don't get the big head, it strengthens us to push and move forward in what God has given us. And I think that's what Bishop Jester did for you. I'm going to release some more people to see if they want to say something at this time. And if you have a question, you can now, I'm opening up the line so that you can speak and ask your questions at this time. Okay, seems like there's no more questions. I do have a couple of things that I want to make sure and bring up at this time, and it has to do with it not only jealousy, and I hate to bring that up, but that's really where it comes from a lot of times when we don't understand our role. And I struggled with this for years. So when you said this to me, I'm like, oh, I got to hear this. There was something that you were saying that the person that's number two in the number two slot, they must love the work of ministry and that they are doers. They're anointed to do and to be able to affect and change things. What's so powerful about that is that many people don't see that they're the ones doing the work, but not only doing the work, they're making the things happen for the number one person. And so when that happens, and, you know, I didn't get this for years, and so it was harder for me to humble myself, and I'm just going to be transparent. It was harder for me to humble myself because I'd be like, I'm doing all this work back here. Can we be real, y'all? I'm doing all this work back here, and I'm not getting no glory and everything. But my perspective changed when I realized, guess what? I'm getting so much because the anointing that's upon
her life or his life, I'm walking in that anointing with them, you know, and I should be growing from that. And you have the opportunity to grow even more without getting the hits that the number one person gets.
Yes, Lord.
It's amazing,
yes, Lord.
Because the number one person, when I think of the front line, they're going to get the hits. The enemy is attacking them first. And then guess what? And then the other thing is we have to be, the number two has to be prayed up, because what will happen is the enemy will then get to us, number two I'm talking about, to get to number one at sometimes causing division and strife. And we have to be mindful and careful about that. So ain't nothing really that easy for number two when you really think about it.
So there is an entire job. And, again, I'll say it's not a matter of we just serve the pastor. We serve
That's
at the discretion of the pastor. We do. But at the end of the day, there is an assignment attached to our lives. There is something that we are there to affect. There are people we are there to affect. And in addition to assisting the pastor with implementing the vision of the house, part of how we do that is with the people. And so we've got to pray not only for our coverings, but for the people that we're going to serve. And so there's whole lot of stuff that we do. There's a bunch of stuff. And so, again, I would venture this. We are gifted. We are favored by God to serve. We're favored to do the work.
My God.
And so half the world wants to be the one who stands and tells people what to do. I dare you to know that there is a place that someone is going to, Bishop, in for instance, is going to lay before God and be certain that she heard the vision for the house, and she's going to stand and deliver that vision. There's a whole lot of work. There's a whole lot of making sure that she got everything that God said right. But as soon as she finishes talking, I'm going to kick into gear on how we're going to make that happen, on how what can I put to that. Where are the arms on this thing? How many people do we need to do this, that, and the other? She's going to do the talking, and everybody is going to surround her as they should while I go off somewhere else and go handle the business. The blessing, listen, the blessing in all of that is not necessarily, there's a blessing in being number one. There is. But the blessing in being number two isn't what the people said to me. It's what God knows I did.
Woo!
It's my service to him. You got to remember, I didn't do this for you. I did this because God sent me on an assignment. Joab didn't decide he was going out and fight some folks. Joab got sent on an assignment.
Oh, my Lord. Now, that blessed me right there.
Yes, he didn't decide, I think I'll go and ambush some folk and defeat some folk and go take a whole bunch of folk out and go to war because that sounds like fun to me. There's an assignment out there.
And we have to catch the assignment.
Once my leader says what's going to happen, I'm looking around going, how are we going to do this? That's the exciting part of it for me.
Yes.
Now, whether you see what I did or not is not the issue for me, because God gave the task and the challenge to her. She put it out to the people. What that we do, it goes back to him.
Oh my goodness!
And so let me do Rick Warren, purpose driven mind, book one, page one, line one. It's not about me.
You know, it's definitely not about us. Although sometimes we want to make it about us. I know I've had that problem in the past, but it's really not about us. It's really not. Listen, we have Bishop live right now, and guess what? She ready to ask you a question.
I'm afraid.
Bishop?
Hey, women of God, can you hear me?
Yes.
I can.
Listen, thank you so very much for allowing me to interrupt this call momentarily. Pastor T is an amazing woman of God, and the ministry is just better because of her faithfulness to God. But she kind of went past something really fast in saying she does not always agree. We have disagreements. I'd like for you, Pastor T, to talk about what happens when we're in a room and you don't agree. I think that's extremely important because as much as we have a great relationship, she has challenged some things and said, well, Pastor, you know, so I think that that's a good thing to talk about. Not that we just walk out smiling, but that it's true that even in number two, you got to understand sometimes you're going to disagree with number one. And how do you handle that? And then watch this. Then how do you handle the folks trying to tell you you should be number one?
What you say?
Woo. Okay,
I'm
going back on mute.
Here she is to challenge me. So there are times that you will disagree with your leader. You will. There are times, and it is part of my job to voice that disagreement. Part of my job is to say what I see, to say what I know, to be eyes and ears for things that she may or may not know, and to give her a sense of what's in my heart about the same people because we serve in the same house. And so if there's a place where, again, she wants to go left and I want to go right, somebody's going to make a decision. And as she says what she wants done, it's not just this is what I want and I say okay. That's not always exactly how it goes. Now, bear in mind, these conversations, I think one time there was anybody else in the room. Very few people ever hear our disagreements. And the reason that is because I need her to be able to hear me and to say exactly what I'm thinking, and for her to be able to say to me exactly what she's thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Those things are not always congruent. I will forget the time. At the end of the discussion, she said, I wanted to come across that desk and pull your hair out. Now, if you know me, I don't have a whole lot of hair. And so the disagreements do happen. But we walked out of that room in that conversation where she wanted to pull my hair out, knowing that that love was going to anchor the whole thing. And so, there's something you need to know about the disagreement. Sometimes she's going to be right. More often than not, she's going to be right. If you disagreed, hopefully behind closed doors, with your leader and they were right, you need to be teachable enough to learn from what happened. Learn that you saw it this way, they saw it that way, and what they saw was righter than what you saw. I made that word up. It was righter.
Righter.
You might have been right. But what they saw was righter, and we need to be teachable enough to learn those things. Don't run by those things, because they are the times that will temper you so that you're able to serve better. But once in a very great while, you're going to find out that there were some times when what you said was true and what your leader said was not, you were righter than your leader. I like that word. And in those times, there's one thing that you cannot do. I told you so does not work. It's not your place to put them in their place. In those moments, what you're going to do, particularly if there's a mistake, it's not been the case between me and my pastor, but particularly if you find yourself in a situation, Joab saw some mistakes. When a mistake gets made, the thing I'm going to do is pray. It is not my last resort. It's my best first option. The first thing I'm going to do is pray. The second thing I'm going to do is see to it that the leadership and the congregation squash any conversation there is about it. And the third thing I'm going to do is restore the confidence of my leader. It's not my house.
My goodness.
I serve at the discretion of my pastor. And so if you find yourself in a place where there's a disagreement, my part of my job, again, is to make sure that I say what I see, what I see.
Mm-hmm.
And we do disagree. We just don't tell people. I think part of
my
the success of number two is the ability to disagree and not let the rest of the world know. And so she and I know how many times we've disagreed. Nobody else really does. The good part of that is the congregation sees us as a team. Some of the downside of it is that people don't think we actually disagree. I mean to tell you, once in a while we do. But her second question had to do with what happens when people tell you that you're better than the leader. The first thing I'd say is this. I have to understand my role. I am not.
Yeah.
I am a leader. I am not the leader. And so I
mm-hmm.
don't care. Do not let – for because I keep telling you, number two is not an ungifted person. The number two person is not someone who's not good enough. The number two person probably has a fair amount of gifting of their own. And sometimes the membership will blow your head and have you believing that you're better than them. I need you to know your place. Lest
My
your
goodness.
Lest your leader put you in your place. So you got to understand your role. You got to understand it's not your house. At the end of the day, when God calls each of us up before the throne of judgment, he's not going to ask me about this ministry. He's going
mm-hmm.
to ask her. My job is to make sure she knows everything I know and that she is able to run the church. God honors our obedience to do what he's called us to do and be all that he's gifted us to do. But when someone wants to tell you that you're all that and you're better than the leader, I'm going to need number two to give some pushback on that one. Want to know what that sounds like? I think my pastor's doing just fine. Pushback.
Awesome.
I'm glad that God sent him or her to lead this house. And here's my personal favorite. If there's an issue, I'm happy to set up an appointment for you to meet with her.
My goodness.
Got to know my place because
yeah.
I am not called to lead that house. I don't care what the membership thinks. I know what God said. And though you appreciate the fact that they see the gifting in you, number
uh-huh.
two has to keep it in perspective.
Uh-huh.
It's my job to keep my role in perspective and to
my
honor
goodness.
The role that God gave my leader and keep staying submitted to my leader.
I think that answers the question, Bishop Jester. I love it. And you know, it's good that you that she came in and asked those questions because so many people don't understand the relationship and the cohesiveness of a number one, number two, and even sometimes a number three person. And it's so important for us to know, shed some light on the fact that we're not always going to agree. That's the beauty of it. But in the end,
right.
in the end, we know how to work together as brothers and sisters in the body of Christ for the kingdom of God. Because it's not just about
right.
number one, it's not just about number two, and it's definitely not just about number three. It's about us all. I mean, the number one person who God has put, and you're right, as the head, as the leader, who has to answer to God. But when it comes down to it, we're doing this all for God. And so
right.
it takes all of us to work this thing together. But there is, for lack of better, I don't know what the terminology is, in the kingdom of God, there is an order that we have to adhere to. And I think if we can, you know, I have a question about this, and I know we're going to have to, you know, close in a few minutes. But I think if we can teach our younger people to understand this kingdom order, which is a principle that God has
yes.
placed
you know, that they can actually change how we do things in the future. Even now, they can start changing it. So how do we go about implementing the understanding of this order? Because that's what you're doing. You're starting from number two of what this order looks like and appreciating that order. So what are some things you think we can do as a body of Christ to implement these things in the body of Christ in our churches?
That's a good one. I think that it comes down to knowing what the Bible says and what kingdom order is. I think that as we understand that order has not been designed because somebody in some church somewhere decided that it ought to go this way, and while some of those things do happen, those of us who believe the Bible and those of us who are kingdom-minded have opened the scriptures and seen that God decided on order. And so if we really begin to teach and preach in our churches the order that's in the Bible, then it won't be a question of what I think or what you think. We can all turn to the same Bible, to the same scripture, and see what the same God said so that we understand how to observe order. That God created order, and that chaos is not his name. Confusion is not his name. Chaos is not his name. Confusion, he is not the author of. And so when we find ourselves in places where chaos and confusion exist, you might be looking at the absence of God.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. Okay, I'm through on that one. Pastor T, thank you so much. You just kind of dropped the mic on that last one. Thank you so much for sharing. This is when I need my co-host on the line, when I get speechless. So much for sharing on tonight. I pray someone got something out of this, and if you didn't, it's because you're just missing it because you want to miss it. And so I will tell you on tonight, we have to start celebrating number two. As a matter of fact, I'm celebrating you, Pastor T, on tonight, because you helped number one to be who she is. You know, and you help number one to be who she is. And so I'm celebrating. So all the number twos out there on tonight, including myself, I'm number probably 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, somewhere around that. But let me tell you, let's celebrate who we are and where we are, because God is still using us in miraculous ways. And we are the foundational, oh, my goodness, we are foundational for those who are in the forefront. So, Pastor T, thank you. Any last things you want to share on tonight?
I think I'd echo what you said. I think if we can celebrate who we are, what God has gifted us to do, get in place and get to business. If you are the leader in the number one spot, we celebrate you. We want to support you. And if you're in any supporting role, whether you're number two or any other number in the book, let's just do what God has gifted us to do. Find out what your gifts are. Get in your local Bible study. Get in your local church, and let's get to moving the kingdom forward, because that's what it's about.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you so much, Pastor T, for joining us on tonight. Could you close us in prayer? We're just going to be praying for those who are still struggling in that area, in that place, in that space, and so that we can lift that, I'm going to call it that demonic burden off of them, and not only that, self-inflicted burdens because of our lack of understanding.
Right.
So can you just pray tonight?
Father, we thank you for this time and this opportunity to share your word with your people. God, we thank you for every gifting that is listening to the sound of our voice, that is now or will listen to us, God. We thank you for every gift that you've given, for you are the giver of all gifts, God. We thank you, God, for those that you have called to the senior leadership of your churches, God. And we thank you, God, for every person who serves in any capacity, God, to move your kingdom forward, God. We thank you, God, that we don't have to look to anyone else and see what they do, God. We can seek you to find out what you have for us to do, God, and we can get down to the business of doing it. God, we thank you because you have given each of us at least one gift, God, so that we might be able to have an in the kingdom, God, that we might be able to encourage someone, God, that we might be able to help somebody, God. We thank you, God, that you have allowed us to be able to come to you and get the gift, God, and then to go out and serve your people, God. We thank you, God, for everyone that stands in the number two position, God. Bless us, God, to support our leaders, God. Bless us to lift them up in prayer, God. Bless us, God, to keep them, God, as they move forward in the things that you've called them to. Then, God, bless us to be the doers, God, those who get our hands dirty, God, those who can make things happen, God. We pray, God, that you would open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings on each of your sons and your daughters, that they might serve, God, in a way that honors you, serve in a way, God, that glorifies you, and give, God, the praise and the glory to you that is due to your name. God, we thank you for this platform, God, and this hostess, God, for the co-hosts of this radio show, God. We thank you for the labor of love to allow us to come together, God, all across the world, that we might hear and know you better, God. We pray that you would bless them now in the mighty name of Jesus. Rain down blessings, God, for the work that they do, God. Rain down blessings on them that their lives might be enriched, God. Meet every need in their households, God. Elevate them now, God, in the things that they seek you for. We bless you and we honor you, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. And we're just going to be lifting you up in prayer, Pastor T, and what God is doing in and through you. And so we praise God for what he's going to do for you as well. It's a blessing to have you in tonight. And all those who are listening on tonight by way of internet and by way of phone, thank you so much for joining Kingdom Authority. It is a privilege to be able to join and spend this time, this hour with you all. It's a blessing to have you to listen in, tap in, share with your friends. Let them tell them to come back again. I'll tell you, on next week, we will not be broadcasting live, and we just thank you for joining us. We will resume on October 8th, and we're starting, and we're talking about marriages that last. Marriages that last. We're going to focus on marriages, and we're going to focus on the fact that God has somebody, some people out there that are doing it his way. It may not be easy all the time, but he has some people that are doing it his way. And so we're going to celebrate those marriages, and they're going to share their stories. And I'll tell you, you're going to learn many things from some of these couples, from all of them, but more from some of those who have been married for over 40 and 50 years. It is a blessing to be able to have these people come on and share their lives with you and to give you some tips and tools. And if you're looking to get married, guess what? You want to join in. Starting October 8th, the month of October, we're spending talking about marriages that last according to God's word. Thank you, Pastor T, for joining us again, my friend. It is a privilege. I have grown because of you, and I'm grateful for you. I want to close with a quote. Amen. I want to close with a quote tonight. Listen, people of God, nothing is a coincidence. Everything you're experiencing is meant to happen exactly how it's happening. Embrace the lessons. Talking to number twos right now, number threes, fours, fives, and sixes, and be grateful. Nothing is a coincidence. Everything you're experiencing is meant to happen exactly how it's happening. embrace the lessons, and be grateful. Thank you again. We are your hosts, Reverend Dancia Jones Morris and Bishop Latresa Jester, and we are so happy that you joined us tonight on Kingdom Authority. Look for us again October 8th. Call in. You just may get a gift. Thank you so much. Have a great night.